Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, episode 34. Welcome to this episode of the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. When Anne-Marie and I launched Five Cat Studio back in 1999, we took the work that we could get and we charged what we thought our clients wanted to pay. But as we matured as architects and the business grew, we learned that we needed to make more money in order to build a better business. Are you in that same position? Are you working too hard and earning too little? Well, this week on the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, I will talk about how to raise your fees. So stick with me. I'll be right back. Last week on the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, I chatted with architect Rand Selner, the owner of Home Architects in Western North Carolina, up in the mountains, designing some cool houses, mountain architecture. And he's also a founding member of Arch. Architects Creating Homes is a professional organization, relatively new, dedicated to licensed residential architects. And it was a very interesting conversation, and we received a bunch of feedback from the entrepreneur architect community. There's lots of buzz, so check out the episode at entrearchitect.com/episode33 and leave a comment, or visit the Facebook page at facebook.com/entrearchitect and join in the conversation over there. I'd like to know what you think. There's both support for Arch, and there's a few objections, too, for what Rand and his team are trying to do. So I'd love to know what you think. So check it out. On Monday, over at the blog, I posted my list of 25 architects that you should follow on Twitter. And I wanted to mention that there are so many more great people on Twitter than just 25 that I follow. But I needed to set a limit, and 25 sounded like a pretty good number. I picked the 25 that I think most provide the best value and with whom I interact with most. So that's how I picked the list. There are plenty more. So I want to know who you follow. So which architects are providing the most value in your Twitter stream? And if you're not yet contributing on Twitter, I invite you to sign up and then visit entrearchitect.com/Twitter25, entrearchitect.com/Twitter25, and follow the 25 architects that I listed, and then start contributing to the discussions happening over there. And you will be amazed at the connections you make and the friends you'll find over on Twitter. And don't forget to follow me at twitter.com/entrearchitect. So you want to make more money? Well, then raise your fees. You know, the first thing that we have to get past here is the fear of raising your fees. It takes a lot of courage to take that first step and to get into the mindset that you're going to raise your fees and the potential consequences that may have on your business and ultimately your family. So you have to acknowledge that it is sort of a scary thing to consider and get past that before you do anything else. If you can't get past that, you're doomed. You really are. You're not going to be able to raise your fees, and you're not going to be able to make the money that you want to make. So you have to get past the mindset that this is a scary thing and take the dive. The second thing that you really need to do is to understand your finances. You need to understand where the money's coming from and where it's going. You need to basically calculate all of the expenses for your year. So you know in one full year, how much money do you need to put out in order to run your business. Then you need to break it down. How much per month do you need to make to break even? And then that way you can break it down even more to week, and then even if some people even look at it on a daily basis. The more you break it down, the smaller those chunks get and the less intimidating they are. So if you understand where your money's coming from and where it's going, then it's easier to understand how to raise your fees. And really the next thing that we want to talk about is that, architects do so much more than sell drawings. And a lot of the public, that's what they expect from us. And a lot of architects sort of feed that stereotype that architects basically just draw for a living, and they roll up some drawings and we deliver them, and that's what we do. And we provide much more than that. What value beyond your designs are you providing for your client? What separates you from other architects that are providing proposals for the same projects that you're going after? Because if I venture to guess, you are doing much, much more than just putting together a great design, getting it on a bunch of paper, and sending it off to a general contractor to build. Architectural services is not a commodity, and it should not be treated as such. We're professionals, we're designers, we are creatives. There is so much more to what we provide to the world than a set of drawings. And if we're competing on price, then our services are a commodity. And so it's a mindset. You need to you're selling more than just a roll of drawings. My firm, Five Cat Studio, we don't sell drawings. We don't even sell designs. We sell an experience. And I've talked about this before in other podcasts, and I've written about it on the blog. But, we sell an experience. We hand hold through a very, very scary process. And that's what we do. We're handholders. We guide our clients through initial ideas all the way through to the final punch list. We basically sell peace of mind. And what is that worth? That's worth a whole lot more than a roll of bond paper and ink. We sell peace of mind. That's worth a lot of money. And truthfully, clients have no idea what they should charge or what we charge and what we're worth. Heck, architects don't even know what to charge or what we're worth. So how could our clients possibly know? If you do it right, you can charge whatever you want, to an extent. Your services are worth what you charge. I want to tell you a little story. Today, this morning, I got a telephone call from a prospect. And he liked us a lot. He was actually a referral from another client. And I met with him a couple weeks ago, and I sent him my proposal, which you can go and you can purchase your own proposal at entrearchitect.com/hybrid. I sell my proposal. So I sent my proposal out to him, and he contacted me late last week, and he said he wanted to talk to me. And this morning he called me and he said, I like you a lot. I think we clicked really well. And I think you do a great job. I love your architecture, but you're extremely expensive. You're much more money than the other proposals that he got. And he told me very transparently, he said he got 5 proposals. Listen to this. 5 proposals. The project is about a $500,000 project. It's a residential addition and renovation, mostly renovations, basically a whole house renovation project with a few small additions. And he got, for the same services, he said, they're for the same services, he got 5 proposals. That here are the numbers. He actually gave me the numbers. The numbers were $5,000 for a $500,000 project, $5,000, $11,000, $30,000, $75,000, and $90,000. That's all for the same project. So when I say architects have no clue what they should be charging, there's a perfect example of that. The same project, supposedly the same services, ranging from $5,000 to $90,000. You know, and we're not the highest. There's somebody higher than us, but we're on the higher end. And that's what that job should be. For the services that we provide and the services that most architects should provide, our fee is set right where it needs to be in order for us to pay our expenses, cover our overhead, pay our employees, and make a profit. And that's important. The profit's important because the profit is what makes a healthy business. It allows us to invest back into our business and grow and become stronger. So that job is, you know, worth between $50,000 and $75,000 for the services that architects provide for that. But it ranged from $5,000 to $90,000. So how could architects, you know, possibly understand? And that's in one county, 5 architects, you know, bidding on the same job or proposing for the same services for the same job. You know, so imagine how confused that prospect is. I don't know if I'll get it because one of the lower, you know, he's also looking at personality, and he liked us a lot, but he also liked one of the other architects that are providing a lower bid or a lower proposal. I keep saying bid, but we don't bid, we propose. And it's a very interesting situation. So I just wanted to tell that story because, you know, I think that he has no idea what the architectural services are or what they're worth. So he was asking me what he should do. And so I said, you know, you should understand what we provide. And I explained my services. I went through my sales, you know, process with him, you know, both at the meeting with him originally and during the interview or during the telephone call. And we talked, you know, and I built more rapport with him. And I don't know if he will hire us because, you know, our fee is significantly higher than the other architect who he liked as well. My guess is that he'll probably go back to him, which is what I actually recommended is that he go back to the other architect and confirm that he's providing the same services as us. And as long as he likes that other architect as much as he likes us, because I think that's a big part too, is the personality, the connection that you have with someone on a personal level. And I said, if all that, you know, works out, I think you should go with the other architect because I don't want you to ever work with us and then always feel like you left money on the table, because that's not going to end up in a good place. I'd rather not get that job and go find another client that, you know, wants what we do and wants to pay for what we provide. So that's a very interesting story, I think, that illustrates what we're talking about here. So the next thing I want to do is I want to go through 7 steps on how you can raise your fees. So I laid out 7 steps here. And if you do these 7 steps, by the time you're done, you'll have higher fees and hopefully you'll be making more money. So the first step is, and every step is an essential. You can't do these without the others. So do great work. It starts there. It starts with, before anything else, you need to be really good at what you do. You have to have a strong business with systems in place so your process is efficient and it's effective, you know, and you need to have the talent to design to the level that your, you know, this potential client expects. You have to have the skills commensurate with the fees that you want to propose. So, you know, because if your fees, if you raise your fees and your products and services don't match that fee, you're never going to convince your client to pay those higher amounts. And you're going to end up with a reputation of being expensive, because you don't want to be expensive. You want to get paid for what you're worth. So that's the first thing, is you have to, before anything else, you have to be good at what you do. So if you're not there yet, then you need to price your work at the level that you're at. So that's the first thing, is to do great work. Number two, show it off. You know, this is talking about branding and the way you present your work to the world. So once you do great work, if you don't present it well and you don't tell the world about it, then nobody will know about it. So check in on your branding. Make sure your branding is consistent. Make sure everything has a consistent look and feel and sound, and everything, you know, works with the branding. I don't want to get into a whole lesson on branding. We can do that on another show, but that's really important. Make sure your logo is professional looking. It's not something that you sketched up in a couple hours, or, you know, make sure it looks really, you know, professional. Make sure your marketing looks professional. Make sure your social media is consistent. And if you're doing advertising, make sure your advertising is consistent with that brand. Make sure your business cards are consistent with that brand. All of it needs to say the same thing, give the same message. And it needs to say a message of high quality and high value. If you're trying to charge a lot of money and your website is saying, I do, you know, kitchen additions, you know, on a budget, your brand isn't consistent with the price that you want to charge. So if you want to charge a lot, and you want to charge what you're worth, then what you're presenting to the world needs to meet that level as well. Professional photographs are key. You can't do this without professional photographs. So unless you are, you can take photographs at a professional level that are equal to somebody who does this for a living, then you need to hire a professional photographer. Your photographs will sell your work. They need to be professional. Your website needs to be a professional looking website. It can't look like the kid next door put it together. It needs to be a very high quality website. Your printed portfolio, if you're still using one. I don't use a printed portfolio anymore. Everything I do is on the internet. I use my laptop and my iPad. My portfolio is all digital now. But if you have, whether it's a printed portfolio or it's a digital portfolio, it needs to look awesome. And your proposals too. The proposals that you send off need to be professional looking, and they need to look like you know what you're doing. And they need to be very easy to understand, and ours are very easy to understand. So that's the second one. Make sure you're showing off your work at a very high level. Okay, number three. This is sort of an interesting one. Raise the stakes. So that basically means put yourself in a position that if you don't succeed here, you'll have some consequences. Force compliance with your own goals. Set up real consequences for not following through. So, you know, you don't want fear to take over. So if you raise the stakes to the point where if it fails, you're going to have real consequences, then you won't fall back on fear and do what you've always done. For me, I stopped taking smaller projects. You know, that's for the past 5 years through the recession, the small projects kept us alive. It was our survival bread and butter. But my stakes were, okay, I'm not taking those anymore. When those clients come in, I'm going to refer them to my friends here in the local area, and we're not going to do that anywhere. We're going back to our pure target market. We're going to find clients that we like to work with, and that's what we're going to do. And this allowed me to have more room to provide the top level services that, you know, our clients are expecting at the level of fees that we're providing or we're proposing. But this also, you know, it creates a situation where we must sign the higher fee clients. If we fail and we don't sign those larger clients for the higher fees, then we're not going to have any work. So that's raising the stakes. If I don't succeed in signing some of these clients, I'm in trouble. So, taking one or two projects for the lower fees is going to put my firm in a very poor financial position. If we need, there was a time when we were doing lower cost work. And in order to do that and be profitable, you need to do a lot of it. It needs to be a very high volume. And that's a different business model than we have. Our target market is a much higher fee, a much larger project. But that's a great market. There's a lot of work there. So, you know, if somebody's looking for a market to go after, and that lower price or the lower price, lower project fee, you know, higher, you know, high fee, small projects, but do a lot of them. So you do them quickly. You have to have really good systems in place to do that. So raise the stakes. The consequence is painful if you don't follow through, and that will make you follow through. Okay, so first one is do great work. Second one is show off. Third one is raise the stakes. Number four, prepare to negotiate or not. So higher end clients often look at money and negotiating as a game. I have a lot of, you know, our clients are I'm based right outside of New York City. A lot of our clients are financial guys and women. And many of them are in the positions where they negotiate professionally for a living. That's what they do. You know, many of them, they're, you know, don't tell them I said this, but a lot of them sort of wrap up their self-worth and their ego. You know, it's all tied up in this game of trying to get the most for the least. And it truly is a game to them. You know, so the key to this is to learn how to play that game, learn the rules and play that game well. So you have to expect that your prospect is going to try to convince you to lower your fee. So you need to expect that. You need to plan your response before that happens. You can't be caught off guard. You can't send out that high proposal or that high fee proposal and then get the telephone call from your client saying, hey, you're crazy. That's way too much money. And then you just panic and you start giving it all away. You need to prepare for that possibility that your client is going to call back and say, you're expensive. So what you do is you need to learn to negotiate. If you're going to negotiate, you need to be good at it. So something that you can do to get better at that is to start small. You know, you can kind of do it offline, go to garage sales and flea markets and negotiate for small, unimportant things just to learn how to negotiate and just how to get comfortable with the game of negotiation and do that back and forth. Garage sales and flea markets, it's a lot of fun because people, you know, they're expected to negotiate. And so you can go back and forth with that and get comfortable with that whole idea and learn how to do it. And when the time comes, you can be ready to counter that offer from your client when it comes back and says, you know what, you're too expensive, here you go. And so you can know how to negotiate and get the fee that you want to have. Or not. You know, the other piece to this is to prepare to negotiate or not. You know, the other possibility is to commit to not negotiating at all. And that's what we do at Fivecat. I send out a proposal. Our fee is what it is. It's based on what we need to be profitable. And so our policy is to not negotiate. And, you know, we've determined our value. We've developed a great presentation on why we're worth the amount that we are. And we just don't reduce our fees. And you need to be willing to walk away because that's the ultimate thing. If your prospect is coming back to you and they want to negotiate and you are not willing to negotiate, there's two solutions to that. They're either going to say, okay, I want to hire you anyway, and they're going to respect what you say and understand why your value is where it is. Or they're going to say, no, you're too much money. I'm going to go somewhere else. And you need to be willing to walk away and go find another client who's willing to pay you. But of course, every project is different and every client is different. And how hard and fast that rule is up to you. You know, you may find a great project. I may have a client come to me that has, you know, our dream project. It's a great client who I really like, who's going to be a fun client to work with a great project that has a, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be great for our portfolio. It may take our firm to the next level so we can do higher level work. So in that case, maybe I would negotiate a little bit. Maybe I would drop my fee a little bit in order to get that. But that's something you need to determine yourself and be prepared for that. So prepare to negotiate or not. Number five, very important, not only in raising your fees, but in life in general. As a dad, this is something I I am a very high priority with my kids. Be confident. Because if you feel worth less, then you're going to send a message that you're worthless. If you feel that you are worth less, then you're going to send the message that you are worthless. You need to be confident. You need to go through the exercise of understanding who you are and be comfortable with what you're doing and know your value and commit to your fee and be confident that you truly are worth what you're asking for. If you're not confident in what you're asking for and the value that you're providing, then when a client comes back, they're going to hear that in your voice. They're going to see that in your body language when you meet with them. When you have the confidence and it's in your mind that you are worth more, that you should be charging more, that you should be getting more money for the amount of work that you do, then you will be confident and they will feel more comfortable with what you're providing. Number six, this is probably the most important step. Do it. Number six is do it. Stop thinking about it and do it. You need to raise your fees. Raise your fees on your next prospect, the next phone call that comes in that's looking for work from you. Raise your fees and do it in a way that your fees have been like that forever. Don't make it, this is a new thing. Don't feel shy about it. Just do it. Raise them higher than you even feel comfortable raising them. Do it on one job. Just do it on one job. Raise them higher than you're even comfortable. See what happens. Try it with one. Because if you get it, it's going to take your firm to a whole new level. If you don't get it, then maybe you'll just lose that job. Maybe you'll just, the next one, you can bring your fee back down. But it will help you go through the exercise. It'll give you more confidence. It'll help you negotiate. It'll do all these things because you'll take the leap and you'll do it. And truthfully, if you do it and you get the job, it will literally take everything to the next level because your confidence, I just said this, but your confidence will go up and the quality of your work will go up. The quality of the clients will go up. Everything will go up. Okay. So let's recap real quick. I got one more. One is do great work. Two is show it off. Three is raise the stakes. Number four is prepare to negotiate or not. Be confident. Do it. And here's number seven. After you do it, use your last job to move yourself forward to the next job. So basically, this is all about references. After you performed at the very highest level and your systems have proven that you are the best architect around, ask for a reference. Ask your clients, your happy clients, for their reference. Prepare a reference list of all these clients who rave about your services and are enthusiastic to share their experiences with others. Let those people sell your services for you. Ask your good clients, the nice people, for references, your favorite clients, the people who you really clicked with and that you really liked and they liked you. Ask them for references to others who may be considering projects within your target market because you want more of those clients. And nice people attract nice people. So the people that you really like, ask them for your references. And improve your services with every happy client. Go back and survey your client either formally with a written survey or just ask them. When we go back after the project is over, we go back with a gift and we meet them and we let them walk us through their new project and tell us how wonderful it is. And then we ask them what we could have done better. And a lot of them say, you know what, I don't know what you could do better. But, and then they come up with one or two little things that, this would have been better or that would have been better. And we can fix that. So next time we can get even better. So that's my list. I got seven tips to raise your fees, do great work, show it off, raise your stakes. Prepare to negotiate or don't negotiate or not. Five, be confident. Six, do it. And seven, use your last job to move yourself forward to the next job. And I wanted to share one more tip with you. It's not one of the seven essentials, but this is another little story. I had breakfast with a couple of my friends this morning. And we talked business. We do this. When I was back in my old studio, I had two subtenants and they've become friends over the years. And We go out to breakfast or lunch every couple months, every 2 or 3 months we do this. And one of them is a branding specialist, and he gave my other friend a great tip. He said, when you're referred by someone to another prospect, and you find out who it is, send a handwritten note card, a thank you card, to the referrer before you meet with the prospect. So as soon as you know, as soon as you have a telephone call with your prospect, and they say, "Oh yes, Susie Smith referred you to us, and they're great friends of ours," and then you go through your whole thing, and you hang up, and you get right down, and you write a thank you letter to Susie Smith, and you send it out before you meet with your client. And then when that prospect goes back to the referrer, and they say, "You know what? I'm interviewing with, you know, this architect that you referred," and they will be filled with goodwill because they'll have just got your letter. And they'll be so impressed that you thanked them personally with a handwritten letter for this referral. They may even make the sale for you. They may even get out there and start talking about how wonderful you are. They'll remember all of the great experiences they had through the process that you had with them. And it'll kind of put them in the right state of mind, and reminding them how wonderful you are as an architect. So I thought that was a really great tip to sort of, it's not a gift. You don't want to kind of make it look like you're bribing them. It's just a handwritten thank you note for saying, "Hey, thanks for referring me to Susie Smith. She looks, you know, she sounds like a really great person. Looking forward to meeting with her. Thanks for the referral." And send that off and have that sent back, you know, have it go back before you meet with the other client. So I thought that was a great tip. So that's it. That's it for this episode. You know, remember, higher prices also, this is another one, higher prices attract better clients. It's very interesting. If, when we started raising our fees, the quality of our clients went up. You know, the quality of our projects went up because the people who are willing to pay the higher fees also have higher budgets, so your projects can get better. They're also generally better clients. They're not necessarily better people or happier people or nicer people. But they might be better clients because they have the money to spend on the project that they want to do. So many clients that have projects that exceed, you know, the project scopes exceed the amount of budget they have, tend to be very difficult clients because they want more than they could have, and that becomes a conflict in their minds, and you become the person who keeps getting in their way of getting what they want. And so higher prices attract better clients. I'm going to leave you with that. If you want to make more money and have better clients and have more fun doing what you're doing, then I say raise your fees. Hey, are you subscribed to the Entrepreneur Architect Report? That's my free weekly newsletter that's delivered every Friday morning directly to your inbox. Each week, I share my thoughts on business success and architecture, provide some tips, or just comment about my week at Five Cat Studio. And I'm privileged to send my report to almost 3,000 subscribers. And every week I receive dozens of emails in response to ideas or concepts that I share. It's much more personal and less formal than the blog. And it's such a great way to connect with the community each week. It's a great way for me to kind of get my thoughts out to you and for you to respond back to me. I love the newsletter. I also share links to every week's blog post article and the podcast episode. So, subscribers to the newsletter never, ever miss a thing happening at entrearchitect.com. So if you're interested in subscribing to the Entrepreneur Architect Report, click to visit entrearchitect.com/newsletter. And you'll find information on how to subscribe. I also want to thank those who have left a review or a rating over at iTunes. EntreArchitect.com/iTunes will send you to my iTunes page over on the web. Just click the button that is labeled View in iTunes, and it will open up your iTunes app where you can leave a review for the show. And I love to read what people think about what I'm doing here. And those reviews help other entrepreneur architects find the show and our community can continue to grow and to become the influential force that it's destined to be. So I thank you very, very much for doing that. So that's a wrap for this week. Until next week, you know my name is Mark R. LePage, and I am an entrepreneur architect. Thanks for listening.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns. What's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.